Dancers have a lot to balance. From their pirouettes to their jumps, a dancer's performance is a direct result of hard work and motivation. So where does food fit into this? There's a lot of myths and a ton of antiquated ideals about what a dancer's diet should look like. And I'm here to dispel those. I'm Rachel Fine, registered dietitian nutritionist and founder of To The Point Nutrition. I'm the dance nutritionist, and I'm here to tell you that to be a successful dancer, you don't have to diet. Instead, I'll teach you how to use food as your best tool to enhance your performance. A nourishing meal plan not only fuels your dancing, but also enhances your strength, improves your balance, supports your flexibility, and most importantly, reduces your risk to injury.
So Savannah, why don't you give us a nice introduction about who you are, where you currently dance, and just a little bit about your here and now, what you're working on and what you've been up to.
Hi everybody, I'm Savannah Quiner. I dance with the American Repertory Ballet. This is my second year with them. And I previously danced at the JKO school. I graduated from there. I danced there for 3 years, and then I previously just danced at local ballet studios. And right now we're working on Nutcracker. We're performing Nutcracker in like end of Thanksgiving. That's when we're gonna start performing. But right now I'm just dancing in American Repertory Ballet, and it's been going great. I've been really enjoying my time there, so.
Nice. So it's been a couple years since you joined the company. I am curious to hear about that transition going from JKO.
So I joined as an apprentice last year. This year I'm company member. So the transition was, very different, like going from a lot of classical and like a lot of hours to like, so that it was more like I was in charge of my own, like how in shape I was and like keeping myself up to top tier as much as I could. So I feel like some of the biggest transitions besides that was a lot of breaks, like in between, because at JKO we would just go for like from the fall to all the way to like end of May, and then here we would like rehearse for like a month and a half, and then we'd have performances, and then we'd have like a couple weeks off before our next performance that we'd start to work towards. So there's a lot of off time that I was not used to, which during that time I would rehearse on my own and work on my own. So that was definitely different for me. And then also doing less classical. This company does a lot of variety. It does more contemporary, it does ballet. It does a lot of new works from new choreographers. So it was also a lot of like doing different styles all the time. Like we just finished working on like neoclassical and contemporary production that we did in early October. And for me, that was a lot of like contemporary work. It was not so much ballet. So now it's like I'm getting back into ballet right now. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of like switching back and forth between what you're focused on at this company. But yeah, I've been enjoying it for the most part.
Yeah. So a couple things that I'd love to pick at just for a bit. So the first is, when you were making the shift into company life and into, you know, professional life, did you have a clear idea of where you wanted to be? I'm doing some work, upcoming work in one of my programs, the Healthy Dancer Winter Intensive, and I've added a whole component that really involves more of the audition process, because we're entering audition season January, February. So I'm curious to hear a little bit from you about when you were, you know, about to graduate JKO. Did you have a clear idea of the kind of company, the kind of repertoire that you wanted to start your career with? How did that look for you?
I had like different plans from what actually happened for that. It was like, I feel like back at that time, I don't know if it's still the same now, but it was really hard to get into a company like a couple years back, because we were just coming back from like the whole quarantine, and it was like not that many companies were hiring, so I was auditioning at a lot of places, and it just like I was just trying to get somewhere at that point. So I think mm-hmm. I wanted mm-hmm. to get into like an all like ballet, like a mainly ballet focused company. But I mean, I just took this opportunity because it came up. So then that kind of shifted, and it was honestly really nice to like go into a place where I grew up as a competition dancer. So I had that in my back pocket. So it was kind of nice to like bring that out again and like re-come back to what I had been doing like my whole upbringing. Before I went to JKO, even in JKO, I still did some competitions and like things like that where I would do like other styles, but not as much. Yeah. So then when I went back into this company, then it was an interesting switch up. But I also remember there wasn't a lot of like auditions like in person at that time. It was still a video, which I think people still mm-hmm. film videos now too. So that was new for me, filming an audition video for the first time. And that was pretty stressful. I remember going to the studio a couple times to like refilm it. And like, I would do like in sections, certain things. Like one day I did bar, and then another day I did center. And then another day I think I did variations as well. So I had like split it up. And also like, the JKO school was super generous and helpful for us during that process, and they like allowed us studio space for that to film, and they also would help us with like they bring in teachers to help us coach us on whatever we wanted to film. So that was really helpful and really nice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't remember going to that many auditions. I just remember like working on that audition video and like submitting that like everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely an unprecedented time. I remember working with a ton of dancers during the time too, who were navigating the entire shift in the audition process and it being so nerve-wracking. So, you know, it's hard. It's a process that was definitely hard to go through. I will say once you're on the other side of it, it is mm-hmm. interesting to be able to look back and to say, if I can get through that process, yeah. I think I can get through any yeah. process. And it's a testament to also maybe the benefit of not necessarily mm-hmm. having a very specific image of what yeah. you want your trajectory to look like, and rather being open to going or sending a ton of videos out, going to a ton of different auditions and getting yourself out there and getting used to different yeah. types of experiences. And really that can be very challenging for a lot of dancers who really do or who might struggle with leaving their comfort zone. So I think that's a really nice thing to hear, is that, you know, obviously it's really worked out for you in regards to challenging your comfort zone and sending out a ton of audition videos and seeing what was going to be the best mm-hmm. place for you to end up at. And also, I'm curious to hear more about, you had mentioned one of the biggest challenges when you entered company life, and this is something I hear across the board for dancers, is the challenge of now it's all on you. You've got more time off, things are a little bit less structured, your autonomy as a dancer is pretty much not even comparable to when you are a student and you're under the, you know, umbrella of a school. So would you say that is one of the larger challenges? I'm sure now 2 years out, you have more of an idea of how to keep up your own routine.
Being consistent, because a lot of the time I wasn't offered like mm-hmm. a class for the day, because we'd be like off for a while, so I had to do my own class at home for mm-hmm. the studio sometimes, just like rehearse, like work on certain things yeah. and like try and figure out what's the best thing to like keep me in shape and like what's the most convenient. So yeah, that was a switch. Also, at our company, we currently don't have mirrors where we rehearse, so that's also it's a struggle for me to like feel what, like when I need to be pointing my feet more or just like rotating more or like basic things like that. It's more now about like how it feels. So
yeah, but that's my opinion, just off the bat, that is a really great challenge, I think. I know it's harder not having a mirror to assess whether, you're pointing your feet enough or maybe you're not tickling or just like all those little things that you can check in the mirror. But to really have to force yourself to now feel this, I would imagine a huge upward battle, but it's got to be more rewarding. And at the end of the day, it's got to be better for us as
It's a lot more
dancers.
of like relying on like the rehearsal directors and the people rehearsing us, because you're like, I hope they're nailing me on this, on what I need to be doing. The one good thing about it is the transition from onto the stage is not as like scary, because you already are used to that big space and kind of performing out to the audience in a way. So that is nice about not having mirrors, is it's easier to transition like to the stage.
Yeah, and for a lot of dancers who do struggle with a comparative mindset, it's going to help to alleviate that as well. Because whether or not you struggle with this, it can be very easy for both pre-professionals and professionals alike to, even if it's just a bad body image day, if it's a day where you're just not feeling great about how you're doing in the studio, it can get very overwhelming
It's so
thoughts.
easy to like get into the habit of like my day, like how good it is goes off of my outfit and like how I look in the mirror. Like I feel like that's so much of a thing for at least for me. So it's like hard to be like, no, it should be off of how you feel and how much you accomplish in that day.
Which ends up supporting us better in the long run too, right? Because we really start to identify what is allowing us to feel better, not just physically, but also mentally and emotionally, really supporting us from all ends, rather than just saying, okay, I look or I don't look a certain way, I fit or I don't fit a certain parameter that I've been told I need to fit, and that's what's going to define how my day flows for the rest of the day, which is, really relying on external cues, and external rules and biases, and doesn't really help us in the long run. Which brings me to my next question for you. Any specific challenges that you experience other than not having the mirror, even though there's pros and cons to that, which you discussed, any other day-to-day challenges? Like, would you say that during rehearsal periods, is it hard to fuel yourself consistently, or have you been able to get those patterns down pat for
My
you?
rehearsal schedule is not like super long nowadays, which is nice. So I feel like it's easier for me to be able to fuel my body because I also meal prep at home. So that really helps me like be able during the week to grab stuff on the go and like just have things ready for me. That was a big thing that helped me with like being able to feel like make food at home. I don't like to like go out and buy things as much because I do really enjoy cooking. So I like to do that.
I remember from having a conversation with Rachel too, meal prep is something that is not, it's been part of your lives for quite a while, and because of that, it's become more habitual, and in a very great way, really supports you for commuting, for your, if you do have a busier schedule. It sounds like right now you've really come into your own with being able to support your dance needs and your fueling needs, so that's amazing. But I know for a lot of younger dancers who are in pre-professional programs, they're often balancing these very long days and, utilizing meal prep as a tool, right? A tool to make sure that you have what you need for what could turn into a very long day, because things come up all the time, and it can really deviate us from being able to have access to a meal or a snack. So I love hearing that you're utilizing this tool of meal prep to really set yourself up.
I feel like I did struggle with that like back at JKL a little bit, because you were saying about like professionals, they like have super long hours. So I feel like I did struggle with that a little bit. But I feel like now I've had more time at home to like establish like meals that are like good to make and easy to make.
What are some of your favorites right now? What are some favorite things to meal prep?
I love meal prepping hummus. I feel like that's an easy thing. And like also these like seed crackers that I like to, actually Rachel was the one that first made them, but I make them sometimes as well. But I like that. It's a good combo. I've been testing this like seed bar recipe instead of, because we have allergies, like we have peanut allergies in our family, so it's hard to find like a protein bar that like is good and it doesn't have like allergies in it. So I've been trying to make my own protein bar, so I've been working with that. I'm hoping to like make one that'll be good for me to also just like meal prepping like meats like chicken and like something to like top a salad with or to put in a sandwich. I love packing sandwiches for my day. I think they're like my favorite thing. So oftentimes,
and so easy.
Yeah, I love putting together some mix of whatever on the sandwich. But yeah, those are a few of my top most convenient.
Nice. I love hummus, and I'm also really into the bar recipes. I just shared on my blog a couple weeks ago a bunch of different recipes, but I've also been turning these recipes into oat bites. I do that a lot. I'll just, instead of making it into bar form, make them into ball form, and they're also really good.
Yes.
So let's talk about balance a little bit. You know, it's very easy for dancers to hyperfixate, and I think we see this more with our pre-professional dancers, but you're only 2 years out of that life. So I am curious to hear if there's a difference, if you've been able to identify a better ability to incorporate more balance into your life as a dancer. You know, like the time we spend in the studio is incredibly important, but so is the time we spend out of the studio. So I'm just curious, you know, what realizations you've had over the last 2 years.
I feel like I've been a lot more busy these past couple of months, not because of like dance involved things, but like things outside of dance. I feel like I've established a group outside of the dance world that's like good for me to like get away from the dance world and like to be able to not always be focused on dance and like to give my mind and my body a break from it. So just like hang out, like find like friends or something to like hang out with and work with when you can, and like to just like know like what your favorite hobbies are and to incorporate them like at least a couple times during the week is good. And also like to be able to like have a good sleep schedule, because sleep is very important for you mentally. And even if you want to like go over something late at night, it might not be the best idea because you might be refreshed the next morning and it might still be there. So I feel like having a good sleep schedule is also very important.
No, absolutely. You know, just focusing on areas outside of the studio is incredibly important. I love hearing that you're, you know, prioritizing a social life, because some dancers do forget about that, that it's incredibly important. And yes, sleep, absolutely. Making sure we're not relying too heavily on just, you know, caffeinated drinks, coffee and tea. I mean, I love my coffee, but we don't want to rely too heavily on this just as an energy source. We want to make sure that we're providing our body with the time that it also needs to recover, which brings me to my final question. And every dancer gets asked this on this series. So how would you define what it means to be the healthy dancer?
I feel like a healthy dancer is someone like they know what their struggles are and they know like they're working on how to handle their struggles and how to cope with them. And they're just like striving to deal with bad habits like in a good way and how to like break them and maybe more like focus on like how you feel versus how you look on a day-to-day basis. And like your accomplishment is more in like how you felt doing anything and not how much how you looked doing it, because I feel like if you don't find the enjoyment at the end of the day, then you need to switch your mindset and really focus on that.
Yeah, I love that, especially just the idea that we all have struggles and they might not necessarily go away. And that's okay too. I think that it can be very easy for dancers to think that the professionals, even a nutrition professional like myself, that we've got it figured out. But I think that is the furthest from the truth, right? I think what's figured out is the fact that we're all on a journey, whatever journey that is. We are learning to navigate through it and learning how to move through challenging times, acknowledge maybe our wins, acknowledge our challenges, and that really just making space for the fact that we don't have it figured out, right? And it's a learning process. We're always learning and we're always working on this. And it's not necessarily about getting to this end goal, but rather just moving through all of the wins and challenges that come our way.
Yeah.
Well, it was so nice connecting with you, Savannah. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Yes, thank you for having me.